Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, whose way is perfect, help us, we pray, always to trust in your goodness, that walking with you in faith and following you in all simplicity, we may possess quiet and contented minds, and cast all our care on you because you care for us, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.
A reading from Philippians. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind, and if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "Costly grace calls us to follow, and it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. It is costly because it costs a man his life, and it is grace because it gives a man the only true life." Looking at verse 12 in the passage that was just read, Paul writes, "Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own." Because Jesus Christ has made me his own. This is important for us to stop and consider. In this passage, Paul goes on to talk about pressing on and straining forward. But it is important to remember that Christ Jesus has made us his own, and we do not need to work to attain salvation for ourselves. This leaves us available to do good works in response to what Christ has already done for us. Our response means being willing to follow God's call. It's not easy. We can consider the goal towards which we press on as being faithful and not turning away from that which God is calling us to do. We must be willing to give up complete control and trust where God is calling. Perhaps we've experienced times when God has called us to do something. Maybe something that is hard to do, or we do not think we are qualified to do. How do you respond? I know I found myself asking, "Who, me? No way. I can't do that. There's got to be a mistake. You're kidding, right? So, taking that step to trust God, to respond to God's call, can be scary. It takes great courage. As Martin Luther writes in The Freedom of a Christian, many people view the Christian faith as something easy. They do this because they have not experienced faith, nor have they tasted its great power. A person must experience the strength faith provides in the midst of trials and misfortune. However, as it takes courage to have faith and do what God is calling us to do, we are not left alone. We stand firm in the Lord. Consider also the passage in Philippians. I do not consider that I have made it my own. In our calls, it is not all that we have done for and by ourselves, but is what God has called us to do and given us the gifts to do. Paul also writes that Jesus Christ will transform the body of our humiliation so that it may be conformed to the body of his glory. We can think of our humiliation in terms of our fear to jump out there and do whatever it is God is calling us to do. When we trust and do what God is calling us to do, God will take this fear and empower us. We will be transformed, equipped to do what God is calling. Paul also writes as encouragement and challenge. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, stand firm in the Lord. That whatever we are called to do, we stand firm in the Lord and trust in him. We know that this can be a hard thing to do, but rather than let it intimidate us or seem daunting, let this remain an encouragement that we are able to trust and have God to stand on. Consider the example of the Apostle Paul. Paul strains forward. He's going off and doing hard things. We know that Paul has some sort of conversion experience and then is sent off into the Mediterranean, preaching, teaching, and establishing churches. He gets sent out of places, he's thrown in jail, his arguments are disputed, but yet he continues forth with great courage, standing firm in the Lord. For a contemporary example, let us consider Sister Helen Prejean, a Roman Catholic nun. Prejean describes in her book, Dead Man Walking, how she felt that she was a nun, not a social worker, and wasn't so sure about getting into social issues. When she accepts the request to become a pen pal with a death row inmate, Prejean feels she is doing her deed. She soon is a spiritual advisor to a death row inmate, which then leads her to fighting for inmates' rights, as well as working with victims' families. The example of Prejean illustrates several points from this Philippians passage. First of all, she states, "But Jesus Christ, whose way of life I try to follow, refused to meet hate with hate and violence with violence. I pray for strength to be like him." Prejean demonstrates what it means to live and act in response to what God has already done for us by claiming us as his own. Secondly, Prejean felt unprepared and unqualified to do this type of work. She had simply agreed to write a letter, but she soon found herself called to do more. When she may have wanted to turn away and say, "No way, I can't do this, you have to be kidding," she trusted what God was calling her to do. God empowered her to advocate for inmates' rights, and other resources such as attorneys became available to her and invested in her cause. Finally, Prejean demonstrates great courage by continuing to fight. She fought for several death row inmates, only for them to be put to death anyway, and yet kept pressing on. Prejean is an extraordinary example, but let us be challenged also to embrace God's gift of Jesus and that he has already claimed us as his own, and to respond to this by pressing on and straining forward in whatever ways God calls us. What might you be called to do? How might you find the courage to take that step? To press on, to have faith, to not turn away. We may not be called to travel all over the Mediterranean preaching or to fight for death row inmates' rights, but we are called by God to do many things. And in response to God's gift of Jesus, let us step out in faith and great courage. So let us be encouraged to press on, to follow God's calling, to step out with great courage and trust that God will equip us. Let us remember this as a promise God has given us, and therefore let us stand firm in the Lord. Let us do all this in response, because Jesus Christ has made us his own.
The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
May God Almighty order our days and our deeds in trust.